My talk tonight is going to be in two parts. I'm going to first talk about the basic meaning of the planets, just briefly. The basic meaning in standard astrology, that is. And I have all the planets listed up here on the board tonight. I'll talk about this in a minute. But then I want to talk about the deeper meaning of the planets. There's a deeper side to all the planets that you're not going to hear too much about or read too much about in books because there isn't that much available information on the subject of what I call esoteric astrology. Let me explain the two words that are very important when we talk about the two types or levels of astrology. There's exoteric and esoteric. Exoteric, E-X-O, has to do with astrology that I'm going to start talking about tonight with the planets. It's information that's easily obtainable in any bookstore. It's information that's written down, so you can get it anywhere. It's easily available. But esoteric astrology is astrology, like any other esoteric subject. Esoteric means it's passed down from teacher to student over many generations. And a lot of it, most of it probably, is not written down. So it tends to be hidden. And therefore, a lot of that information gets put back into our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is where much of esoteric astrology is contained. And to access that information, you have to have teachers who can easily access that part of the brain, the subconscious mind. So when you have a teacher that can get into the esoteric astrology, you know that you have a pretty good teacher, somebody who is well adept in spirituality, because they have gotten that information from their deep psyche. And some esoteric information over the years has been written down, but not a whole lot. So I want to sort of briefly go over that as well. And then the second part of the talk tonight, I'm going to talk about the planets in their signs, like Jupiter is in Leo, and Pluto is in Capricorn right there. And I want to try to make this a little bit more interactive than I usually do. Now, every year I've always put on the board the chart of the United States. I'm not doing that this year. I want to talk about where the planets are by sign and get a feel for what signs your sun signs are at so that you can sort of get an idea of what these planets out there in the heavens mean for you personally. Does that make sense? So it makes it a little bit more, you're involved with the whole process, not just me talking about, well, what's coming up for the nation or the world based on where the planets, the outer planets are and what signs they're in. I want to know about what signs your planets are in, okay? And some of you may know, how many of you have had astrology classes or read books in astrology before? How many? Raise your hands. How many have had readings done before? Okay, that's a pretty good number. How many do not know anything about astrology at all coming in tonight? You're just kind of basically new to the whole subject. Okay. All right, so I'll try to make this so that even the beginning student can understand what I'm saying. Okay, so I'm going to start out by talking about the planets themselves. There's Jupiter, there's the Moon, there's the Saturn, there's Ceres. Now, Ceres is an asteroid. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, too, because that has some esoteric information that I need to, give out to you tonight. But also, it's not talked about too much because it's not a planet. It's an asteroid in astrology. And talk about what signs they're in, like Pluto's in Capricorn, the Sun's in Capricorn, Mercury's in Aquarius. This chart is for tonight, as you can see, January 15th, 2015, 7 o'clock. If somebody was born right at this time in Wheaton, 7 o'clock, January 15th, this is what their chart would look like. But I'm not here to interpret this chart for you. I'm here to talk about what the various planets mean, sort of like conducting it like a class a little bit in a way, so that you know what these planets mean. I know I talked a little bit about that last year, but I want to kind of get into it a little bit more this year. Okay. Maybe I should start out doing it this way. This circle at the center of the wheel, very important. This represents your divine spiritual self. This is who you really are. This is what you're aspiring to be. All of this out here essentially represents the ego mind. You've heard the term, we're trying to attain to this spiritually. But this is what we are right now, today, humanly. This is the entire ego mind process, all these planets together as one. And these planets are spinning around the center, creating karma in your charts. They're always moving. Planets are moving in this counterclockwise direction around the center, and they create karma, almost like the protons and electrons spinning around the nucleus of the atom. Same principle. And when they spin, when planets spin, they create karma. But this stays always the same, perfect, spiritual, divine. This is our divine higher self. This is who we really are. This is what we are aspiring to be, whether we are conscious of it or not. This is what we are aspiring to be. And everybody goes, like, a blank? A blank wheel? What do you mean? What does that mean? It represents, symbolically represents the circle, represents perfection. Represents the perfect self. Ineffable peace. This is what we really are. And that's so important. And I wish more astrologers would emphasize the fact that the center of the wheel is the true self. This is what we think we are. We think we're all this, but we're not. We think we are. Because this is the part of our beings and our lives that creates action. And we think action is what life is all about. Thinking, feeling, acting, moving. That's what we think we are. But in essence, if we tune in, meditate, quiet the mind, this is who we find out we really are, the peace at the center of our being. How many have had an experience where they've felt that inner joy at the very center of their being from time to time? Okay, good. Very good. So you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. We tend to get lost in all of this because life sort of sucks us in to this part of the chart. And we forget about this. This is attained, or at least we can sit in the silence and be in the presence when we silence the mind, when we meditate, when we do deep breathing exercises. Then we can feel the inner presence of our spiritual self. That's why meditation is so important. Prayer and meditation are essential in the spiritual life, but also service is essential. Also reading books on consciousness raising. And here you got the Theosophical Society right here, where all these books are available to you to raise your consciousness, to uplift your consciousness. Find out which path is right for you. And that's, you read books on philosophy or religion, science. Find the path that's right for you. That's how you raise your consciousness at this moment in time. And then trying to overcome your, I guess the best word is faults or shortcomings. Try to work on overcoming those frailties that we all have. So, for instance, the center of the wheel also represents divine light, radiation of light, okay? Light with a capital L. So when we have, like, right here, Uranus trining Jupiter, which is a little wide, but it's there, now the light is coming through Jupiter and through Uranus, and the light's coming through like a tunnel, like a funnel, like a clear funnel. The light is coming through. This is a good aspect, Jupiter trine Uranus in astrology. And so the light is not being blocked. It's moving out. In fact, it's just radiating out when it's in a trine. But when you have like the moon and Saturn down here and they're squaring Neptune and Mars, They're making 90-degree angles like this. The energy or the light tends to be blocked to some degree. That's not a bad thing. It just means that the person is struggling with this energy. In fact, the squares in the oppositions, the hard, challenging aspects in your charts, are where you're focused. That's where you're working at. That's what you're working at, I should say. Because always the most challenging areas of the chart is where we tend to gravitate toward. Because we're trying to get it right. We're trying to smooth this area out. So don't think of the hard, challenging aspects in your chart as bad. Think of them as you're trining the squares, trining the oppositions. You're smoothing things out so that eventually these become trines themselves and the light shines through. Does that make sense? You have to work on the squares and oppositions in the chart. And you don't have to know what a square is at this time. I'm not going to go into explaining all that. But just know that there are challenging aspects in everyone's chart. And so those are the areas we tend to attract or gravitate to. And people will point them out in your life. They'll show you where your hard aspects, your hard areas of your chart are. Okay, so let's get on with the planets then. The first planet I want to talk about is the sun. Because even though the entire chart is the ego mind, there's probably no clearer representation of the ego than the sun in the chart. Yes?
Can I ask, what is that, the outer circle?
Yes, this is the outer circle of planets, and these are the houses that they're in. Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the house cusps, the signs on the house cusps, and that's based on the person's time of birth.
So okay. Houses.
Yeah, houses. And this ring goes in a clockwise motion, and they're rising up over the eastern horizon. This is like a 24-hour clock. Every 2 hours, there's a new sign coming up over the eastern horizon, and that's called the rising sign or ascending sign, and that tells about your personality, your persona. So this person would have a Leo personality. They would be very, very outgoing, energetic, just very proud kind of individual. This is what you show to the world, your persona or personality. So this is a 24-hour clock, and this is a seasonal clock where the planets are moving throughout, around the Earth, because in astrology we use geocentric. It's not heliocentric, it's geocentric, because it's apparent motion that's very, very important symbolically speaking, very powerful symbology. So this is a seasonal clock. This is your 24-hour clock. Didn't want to get into all that exactly tonight, but that's okay. I'm glad you asked. All right. So, any questions about anything we've looked at up till now? Any other questions? Okay. Sun. The sun is based on your birth date. So this person is born January 15th. This person's sun is in Capricorn. That's the symbol for Capricorn. The sun sign in a person, by the way, the sun rules this sign in astrology, Leo. It's there in your handouts, but this is the sign it rules, Leo. But this person has the sun in Capricorn, not in Leo. So when a planet is in its ruling sign, it's very strong, it's very powerful. It likes being in its own sign. So people with sun in Leo, the sun shines through really radiant. Really is comfortable, the sun being in the sign of Leo. But the sun rules the inner self, what you are aspiring to be, your inner character, your willpower. Basically, the sun has to do with this. It may be, in many cases, it's maybe the most important planet in the chart because it's so powerful. And this is why. The sun sign represents that part of you which says, I don't want to live my entire life without giving back something to the earth plane, giving back something to the world, giving back something to other people. I want to make a difference in the world. I want to give something back. That's what the Son is all about. The inner self, the inner character, the inner will to be. And you actually become more of your Son sign as the years go by. So that by middle age, you really are starting to express your Sun sign probably more than any of the other planets. Assuming that it's in a strong spot in the natal chart and where it is by transit as it goes around the chart. I don't want to get into all that tonight. But anyways, the Sun by itself is the inner individuality which says, this is what I want to become in this lifetime. And it has a lot to do with your career. It has a lot to do with your health. Has a lot to do with creativity. It's what you want to leave behind. So for some people, they want to leave behind children, or they want to leave behind great works of art, or literature, or music, or architecture, or maybe they want to leave something in the business world, or something that they want to leave behind which makes a difference. Does that make sense? So it's a really big, important part of your chart. But I don't want to just stay with the surface level of the Sun. I want to go deeper. I want to talk about it from a deeper level. The Sun sign at a deeper spiritual level in the chart represents the person who's humble and evolved enough to say, I am willing to give up all the attachments that the ego gets locked into, or all the attachments that we form in our lifetime. I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing to sacrifice those things that I need to give up so that other people can have their say. Because the Sun sign in Leo is the person who likes to be out in center stage, likes to have all the attention drawn to them. Like me, right? So anyways, it's that part of you that says, I don't need that. I can do without it. I'm not attached to it. That's not easy for a lot of people. A lot of people are attached to their egos. They're attached to the things that they love, the people they love, the things that they get involved with. But the Sun sign is also that, not just the willpower, but the willingness to give up aspects of their self so that they can move higher and higher in consciousness toward the center of the wheel, their divine self. And that sometimes means letting other people have their say instead of them always being center stage. Does that make sense? The willingness to give up. And that's not easy for a lot of people to do, the willingness to give up aspects of our ego. Next planet, and I'll go through these a little bit more quickly. The Moon represents, in standard astrology, our emotions, our feelings, our connections to our family. It's our everyday today moods, feelings, as I say. It's your connectedness emotionally to other people. So it has to do with being familiar with people. Family, friends. It has to do with our nurturing nature. And that's just not a female quality, it's in men too. It has to do with nurturing the people we love and taking care of. Because without the Moon, society would soon fall apart. Without that sense of family, the family is the basic unit that keeps society going. And the Moon is that planet at the center of all that. So it keeps this world, this civilization going. But the Moon also represents, now at a deeper level, spiritual level, represents the subconscious mind, the unconscious. How many times have you met somebody for the first time and you said, I know you. I feel that familiarity. I know this person. I've never met this person before in my life, but I know them. And that's that feeling of being familiar with somebody for the first time. That is a subconscious or even past life connection with that person. And those people gather together, and they sort of form a family of their own, right? Because they're familiar. They feel comfortable with one another. That's the moon. It's the subconscious. It's being familiar with people that you've never even seen before at all. So it's your present link to people in this lifetime that you may have known in a past lifetime. Because families are not cut off. They're not separated by death. Families are about love, and that's what keeps it all together. And the moon is that desire, because the moon has everything to do with our desires. It's our desire to feel at home, to feel secure in a family situation. Because that's what families are supposed to be all about, security and being at home and being connected to something or someone, mainly someone or a group of people. So that being connected to a group of people that are not in your immediate family, that's the subconscious, that's the moon. And then we go to Mercury. Mercury is this planet right here, the winged messenger. It's in Aquarius in this chart. Mercury represents communication, represents the rational thinking mind. It's that part of your mind that gets you through the day. I have to get up, get ready, get showered. I have to go to work. I have to balance my checkbook. I have to go to the grocery store. That mind, the rational thinking mind, which is very important because without it, we wouldn't get through the day. But it's left brain thinking, Mercury. But at a deeper level, how many people have heard of the Akashic Records here? Okay, good. The Akashic Records is the spiritual plane where all action, thought, words are indelibly imprinted into this spiritual plane from everyone. So it's vast, it's eternal, it's infinite. And the deeper side of Mercury represents connection to the Akashic Records. No question about it in my mind. You might not find too many astrologers who will say that, but I have, in my experiences, found that the deeper side of Mercury has to do with the Akashic Records, because don't forget, the conscious mind stores information. It gathers data. So when you gather data and then you forget it consciously, it's not forgotten. It goes into your subconscious mind. And you can tap into that subconscious mind through meditation, hypnosis, past life reading, whatever it takes, to get in touch with the deeper side of Mercury. So if a person is evolved enough and adept enough at getting in touch with the Akashic Records, they will bring up information that they need to hear so that it will help them to understand, why do I have this blockage? Or why can't I do this? Or why can't I do that? Maybe there is something from a past life experience that's blocking the person. And that can be that information, where that all began, can be accessed through the Akashic Records. Sorry about that light. So, the deeper part of Mercury is the Akasha, the storage of all information. We also call it being stored in the subconscious mind, which has a lot to do with the 12th house, which is right here in the chart. Subconscious stores a lot of deep thoughts, but a lot of deep emotional experiences as well. It's the Pisces Neptune house. And by the way, the moon, going back to the moon a second, it rules the sign of Cancer, which is right here. And it's on those sheets I gave you. And Mercury rules the sign of Gemini, which is right here. So when Mercury is in Gemini, if you have a chart and you know your chart, and you see that Mercury is in Gemini or the moon is in Cancer, you know that those planets in your chart are in a very comfortable, easy, harmonious expression of that nature of that planet. Planets in their ruling signs really are comfortable, really like being in those signs. Venus, right there, the female planet, in this chart it's in Aquarius. Venus rules two signs, Libra and Taurus, although I believe it probably just rules Libra. At some point we're going to find, how many Tauruses here? Any Tauruses?
Taurus ascendant.
Okay, Taurus I don't believe Taurus really has a true ruler yet, a planetary ruler anyways. Some people argue that. Some people that will say that Venus rules Libra and not Taurus. I tend to think that does rule Libra and not Taurus. Some people believe it rules Taurus and not Libra. There's arguments that way. So we really don't, at this point, have a true ruler of Taurus. Venus co-rules Taurus, but truly rules Libra. Anyways, that's an argument that's been raging for a long time. Venus has to do with your social life. It has to do with romance, romantic love, all very important things. Everybody wants romance and love. Everybody wants and needs that part of our being to be fulfilled. Romance, love, but also rules bodily adornment, beauty, anything sweet, nice smelling like flowers, all those things are ruled by Venus. Okay, that's more on the surface. Also rules sensuality. But a Venus at the deeper level, Venus rules agape love. How many have ever heard that term? Okay, agape love is essentially unconditional love. It's the love that people give out and they don't necessarily expect a return for that love that they're giving out. They don't need a return for that love. They are people who can give out that love without any expectations of return from other people, giving them love in return. They are totally self-adequate and self-fulfilled just by the fact that they're giving out. And those would be probably people who are like volunteers, or they work for the Red Cross, they may work for the Salvation Army. There are people that are giving of themselves, their free time, and they help people. They're voluntarily helping people to better their lives. They're doing it on their own time. But of course, there are people who do it for a living. And that's okay too. It's just the idea that it's okay if I don't get back. I'm fulfilled just by giving that love out. I don't need it back. I'm self-adequate without it. So that's Venus. That's the deeper side of Venus. Now, Mars is the male planet. It's right there. Some astrologers would say, what does Mars have to do with spirituality? Mars is considered malefic. Malefic and benefic. Benefic means the planet by its very nature is positive. Malefic means that by its very nature the planet tends to be a little bit on the negative side. Maybe that's not a good word, but a challenging side to the planet when you say malefic. So Mars is primarily a malefic planet because Mars, on the surface, has to do with aggression, assertiveness, has to do with getting in your cars every day and driving to work, locomotion, work, energy for work, energy for sexuality. That's also Mars. Mars has to do with confronting people. But Mars, by its very nature, also tends to be somewhat selfish and self-centered. Me first. I have to get ahead in this world because it's a dog-eat-dog world, right? That's the Mars. And everybody has a Mars somewhere in their chart. Basically says, if I'm to survive in this world, I need energy that will get me ahead and maybe get me ahead of the person out there. So when you're in your car and somebody cuts you off, your first reaction is to go and cut them off. You know, it's just a Mars, that's a Mars reaction that you're responding to. So Mars is survival. It's about survival because without Mars, we would be just walked over by everybody. So we have to have something that keeps us, our defenses up, and keeps us more aggressive and assertive. So what then would be the deeper side of Mars? What's the deeper spiritual side of Mars? The deeper spiritual side of Mars is conscience. Not consciousness, but conscience. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Conscience. It's the courage, and Mars and Aries, by the way, Mars rules the sign of Aries. They are deeply connected to one another. Here's the sign of Aries right there. Mars rules this sign. And Mars and Aries have to do with the principle of courage, to be courageous, okay? True courage is the person who can say, you know, I screwed up. I hurt this person, and I need to make reparation for what I did wrong. That takes a lot of courage, if you think about it, folks. How many people a lot of people don't always do that. They will do something that they know is wrong, but they don't always have the courage to go back and say, I'm sorry. You know, I screwed up. That takes courage. That takes Mars. That takes the conscience to say, all right, if I'm a really spiritual person here, I have to make amends for what I've done. Does that make sense? To make amends for all the hurt that we've given out to people in the past. Even if the person out there is constantly in your face or whatever, it's like what Christ said, turn the other cheek. That takes courage instead of fighting back all the time. I'm not saying being a wimp or being passive, because that's not the nature of Mars anyways, but it's basically saying, I'm sorry. I did wrong, and I want to make it up to you. So it's kind of like doing penance for things that you may have done wrong. That's the deeper side of Mars. Okay. Yes?
Does Mars rule Scorpio as well?
Mars co-rules Scorpio, but we know that Pluto now, which is this guy, right? Where is he? There he is. Pluto rules the sign of Scorpio right over here. And it still co-rules Aries, but yeah, Mars co-rules Scorpio, but it's a sign of Aries. All right. Okay, now we come to the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Now we come to what I call the first five planets we looked at, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, were your personal needs. Sun is your ego. Moon is your emotions and feelings. Mercury is your mind. Venus is your love life, your social life. Mars is your energy for work, sex, all those things. So those are your basic, I guess you could say, animal needs. Very important, though, because we have to live here. We have to be able to get along. We have to survive. We have to feel comfortable. But when we get to Jupiter and Saturn, those are the more social planets. Jupiter and Saturn, and here's Jupiter right here, and here's Saturn right down here. These are the social planets because these planets help us to reach out to the world at large. They put us in contact. So these first five planets is our own immediate little surroundings, our lives. But when we get to Jupiter and Saturn, now we wish to branch out and reach out for bigger and better things. We want to know more. We want to expand. We want to explore. And Jupiter, which rules the sign of Sagittarius, right down, where is it? There it is, Sagittarius. And Saturn is in Sagittarius now. Just went in, by the way. Jupiter and Sagittarius is all about exploration, moving out to a higher level of consciousness. Jupiter, in the chart, represents that sort of need to aspire to a higher level of consciousness. So it rules philosophy. It rules religion. It rules the higher mind. So when you travel to a foreign country, to a foreign land, and you're learning about the cultures abroad because you want to expand your knowledge, that's Jupiter in action. So it's a very spiritual planet from that regard. And you've heard of the concept of a transcendent God. That's what Jupiter is all about. But the deeper side of Jupiter is the recognition that there is also an immanent presence within all of you, an immanent spiritual presence that is there that you can get in contact with, that you must get in contact with, and that you will one day get in contact with. Jupiter is that hope that you will aspire to and come in contact with an inner presence, not just out here, not just a transcendent presence, but an immanent presence out here. So it's that hope, it's that aspiration. It's that planet that spurs you on to higher things. So not just spurring you on to higher learning and higher practices and religion and all that, but a higher recognition that there's something within, much more important than just out here. All of the world is inside of you. It's not just outside of you. You don't have to go abroad to find out the answers to your life. You have to turn within to find that. And Jupiter makes you realize that that's what you have to do. It sort of knocks you on the head and reminds you that's the planet, that's the part of you, Jupiter part, that's putting you in contact with a deeper inner presence. All right. All right, now we come to a planet that everybody hates. Everybody just is so uncomfortable with, so belittled, Saturn. Any Capricorns here tonight? Okay. And Pluto is in Capricorn. You can see it right here. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, well, let me talk about Saturn first on a surface. Then I'll get to the deeper side of it. Saturn rules the responsibilities that you all have, that you carry with you, whether that's work or family or home, parent, whatever the case may be. It's responsibilities. Saturn also rules self-discipline, the need to discipline ourselves every day. If we set ourselves goals, we need discipline to achieve those goals, and that's Saturn. And we definitely need Saturn, because Saturn is laws, too. If it didn't have laws, we'd have total chaos. We'd have, if we didn't have any traffic laws, for instance, think about that for a moment. That would be total chaos. So, and those kinds of laws, traffic signs and things like that, that's also part of Saturn as well. But Saturn has a very, very important role in the spiritual life. In fact, I think it's even more important than even the higher octave planets. See, when we get to the higher octave planets, and here I'll point them out, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, these are the planets that talk about the stages toward enlightenment, okay? But before you can reach those stages where you're aspiring to enlightenment, you have to get past what they call the rings of Saturn. The rings of Saturn are very difficult, very, very tough indeed, but absolutely necessary if you're to evolve to a higher level. It sounds like the air just went on. That's good. We need air conditioning in January. Okay. So wake up. The air is on. All right. Saturn teaches hard lessons in our life. When you're going through a hard Saturn transit in your life, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times that indicates or symbolically represents a loss of something major in your life. I'm not talking about, oh, I lost a dollar today, or I dropped a few pennies out of my pocket, or you know, I left my handkerchief or my scarf on the bus. I'm not talking about those kinds of losses. I'm talking about the big losses. Loss of, let's say, a spouse through death. Loss of a child through death. Loss of a job, and therefore you lose income. You lose prestige. You may even lose your house because you can't find a new job. Or you lose your house through fire or through foreclosure. You lose your health. Very important, through a chronic illness of some kind. Or you lose a beloved pet. These are the kind of losses that I'm referring to when I talk about Saturn. So Saturn aspects, not just natally, but by transit, often indicate losses of those kinds. But, and here's the key, and this takes us to the deeper level of Saturn. This is very important. This is probably the most important part of the talk tonight. Saturn represents that part of you that says, no matter how much I've lost in the past year or the past few months, keep going, endure, have forbearance, get through this. And I'm sure, I know every one of you had moments where you just wanted to pack it in, right? Give up because of some difficulties in your life. That's when Saturn, that little voice of inner guidance inside, will say, Dave, keep going. Joe, keep going. Sue, keep going. Whatever, whoever the person is, keep going because things will get better. And that's the beauty of astrology, because it can show you when these cycles begin and when these cycles end. That's the beauty of it. Things don't last forever. Even though when you're under a Saturn cycle, it feels like forever. Things will change. Things will get better. And if you endure and you keep going in your life from day to day, you keep moving, keep going, when you're out of that cycle, things will get considerably better. They usually do. Saturn is that little voice inside that says, don't give up. Keep going. Keep moving forward, never backwards. And Saturn rules the sign of Capricorn, if I didn't say that. All right. Very important part of spirituality. It's not about visions and phenomenology. That's not what spirituality is all about. Spirituality at the essence, the core essence of spirituality, is dealing with losses. Because in the end, we have to give it all up to our divine self anyways. It doesn't mean that you don't have to have the things, all the things that you want in life, marriage, home, children, friends, money. All those things, they're important. You have to have those things to get on in life, and you want those things, and it's okay. Just don't become attached to them, and Saturn will teach you how not to become so attached. Because every now and then it's going to give you a loss that says, you know what? I thought life was all about getting things and being given things. It's not. It's also about loss as well. It is about being given things, but it's also about loss. Yes?
I had just heard about Saturn return, or your Saturn.
Yes.
Is this what you're speaking of?
No, Saturn return is when, say this is your chart, for instance. When Saturn comes all the way around the chart and comes back to its natal place at birth, so for instance, if this person has Saturn at 2 degrees Sagittarius, like it is here, when it comes all the way around the chart, and that's usually around 28 or 29 years, and it comes back to that 2 degrees point, that's called the Saturn return. And around age 28 or 29, that is a very important cycle of the outer planets. Because the Saturn return indicates a time of maturing, growing up, having respect in the world. A lot of times people will choose their final career, what they want to do with their life, when Saturn comes around. Not always. Some choose it before, some choose it after. But basically, at the end of the 20s, 28, 29, that's when you reach your Saturn return.
So I turned 29 in 3 days, and I'm a Capricorn.
Okay. Well, that to know exactly when it happens, you have to know your chart.
Okay.
And then look at the ephemeris, which is the book that tells you where the planets are, and see when it comes back around to that point of where it was at birth. Very important symbology, yes.
Second
Saturn return, too, and it goes around a second time, usually around 58, 59. That is also a very important cycle, but it usually indicates the person is about ready to not necessarily retire, but thinking about retirement, and starting to think about doing things when they are going to become retired. In other words, that you're ready to kind of let go and move on to something else when you turn 58, 59. Most of the time, it's usually later for people when they retire, but watch when you turn 58, 59. You'll feel that need or feeling that desire to sort of let go of what you're doing and to move on into something that you really want to do, let's say.
Other people want you to let go.
Exactly. Good point. Okay. So then we come to the higher octave planets. Higher octave in that Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury. Why do I say higher octave? Well, where Mercury is the left brain, Uranus has a lot to do with the right brain thinking. But Uranus has to do with, on the basic level of astrology, Uranus has to do with genius mind, a person who is very, very creative and has flashes of inspiration, fantastic, sudden ideas about things, swift, very quick. So that Uranus is the sudden awakening of the mind at a spiritual level. It's the raising of consciousness. It's the realization that life is about achieving enlightenment, achieving a spiritual satisfaction, achieving a more higher level of expression. But it's only of the head. Uranus is still of the head, just like Mercury. So Mercury is kind of the lower mind. Uranus is the higher, inspired, innovative mind. Higher consciousness. A higher level of awareness. People who learn things very, very fast usually have a very, very well-aspected Uranus in their chart. And when you have Uranus transits, things can suddenly end in your life, but then the good thing about Uranus is it always brings in new things. Always brings in exciting new things for you to explore. So when something ends under a Uranus transit, we feel like, oh my goodness, I lost something very important. I feel a sense of loss again. But Uranus doesn't leave you with that sense of loss. It always brings in something new to look at. It opens up a new door, and new things come into your life, or you walk into that new room, and you explore it, and you find new things to interest you. So when you're going through Uranus transits, it's a pretty exciting time, very exciting time, because you know something new and innovative is going to awaken you. Saturn is about that every day, I got to go to work, I got responsibilities, it's kind of heavy. But it's teaching us patience and forbearance and all those things, which we go, yuck, right? But Uranus will open up new doors. All of us opens up new doors for us to explore, new rooms to explore. All right, then we have the higher octave of Venus, which is Neptune. It's almost like saying that the basic nature of Neptune is like the spiritual side of Venus. Because Neptune has to do with love, compassion. It has to do with divine love, love of God, love of spirit. But on a surface level, Neptune has to do with inspiration in the arts, inspiration in music or writing or arts, fine arts, painting, sculpture, all that inspiration. Anything of a creative nature, the inspiration for that comes a lot of times from Neptune. It rules the sign of Pisces. And Pisces is right there. That's what, this is the sign that's ruled by Neptune. And I should have mentioned Uranus, going back to Uranus for a second, it rules the sign of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius. Okay. So Pisces and Neptune is our creative nature, our inspired nature. But it also has to do with compassionate Christ love, sensitive love. Self-sacrifice is also a big concept to do with Neptune. Have you ever felt at times, and I have it not that often, and it doesn't come that often, but it comes from time to time, where it'll just come over you, where you feel this love coming into you and love going out to everybody out there? It's sort of a feeling of love for the world that you feel, and it comes in to you from out here, but then it immediately goes out. It's almost like one continuous cycle. Has anybody ever felt that feeling of love? Okay. And it's a wonderful feeling of joy, hard to explain, hard to comprehend, hard to put into words. That inner joy, that inner divine joy, that divine illumination is the higher side of Neptune. And those people who are at that level, and they're few and far between, have really reached a high level of consciousness, very high level of consciousness. So Neptune is about illumination and the higher conscious, or the higher consciousness. Illumination, feeling that divine love within. Okay, and then finally we come to Pluto. Now, Pluto is another great tester. I don't know if it's quite as severe as Saturn, because Saturn has to do with worldly tests. But Pluto has to do with basically emotional catharsis. Emotional tests, an emotional pain at times. Not always. And here's Pluto. And again, it's on your sheets. And Pluto rules the sign of Scorpio, down here. On the surface of things, Pluto rules, and this could be considered spiritual as well, ESP, extrasensory perception. Pluto puts you in contact with perceiving levels, vibrations that are beyond the worldliness that we experience every day. ESP. It also has to do with hypnosis. Pluto is the one planet that can get you in touch with your subconscious mind very, very fast and very, very deep. But what is the biggest lesson that Pluto is teaching us? What is the spiritual side of Pluto? And I'm just touching on all these planets, touching on all these different lessons from a standard and esoteric point of view. But the biggest lesson I think Pluto has to teach us is that it teaches us forgiveness and to let go. And that's something that's more emotional. More than mental or physical, it's emotional. To let go. To let go of hurt. And not just forgiving someone else that may have hurt us, but mainly, and this is the biggie, forgiving ourselves. Self-forgiveness, because we pound on ourselves every day, if you think about it. We beat ourselves up. It's the wherewithal from the gut level of our being, the solar plexus of our being, to say, that's enough. I am not going to continue to beat myself up anymore. I'm going to move on. And that's Pluto. That's inner transformation. And that's what Pluto's all about. That's what it's teaching, inner transformation, at mostly an emotional level. And when you move on, and you forgive, and you let go, and you forgive yourself, and this can be done under hypnosis, or it can be done consciously as well, but when you do all that, a whole new world opens up to you, a whole new world of change. It's very, very cathartic. It's powerful. Pluto is the higher octave of Mars. So here we have Mars. We talked about this as aggressiveness, animal nature. But Pluto is It really is connected to Mars, because remember I said Mars is the courage to forgive, to say I'm sorry? That's Pluto coming through, folks. That's your Pluto nature, saying, I'm going to have the courage to go up to that person and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm the one that screwed up. It was my fault. That takes a lot of guts. Again, that word guts, inner catharsis, solar plexus. It's at the gut level of your being. So it's a very, very, very powerful planet. Now, I wanted to say something before I go on to talking about what's coming up this year a little bit of a mini prediction of the where the outer planets are at. I want to just say this. When you have, and this is important for people who are really into astrology, they may understand this. When you have the higher octave planets, and Isabel Hickey talked about this, and she's a famous writer in astrology. When you have planets like Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, the higher octave planets, and they're connected in strong, major aspects to the personal planets in your chart, like the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, those can represent individuals who have a higher level of consciousness and can reach their divine center and can do really wondrous things, like ESP, or talking about the future, or healing, hands-on healing. So, like Mercury, I just did a chart for somebody who has her Pluto in her 12th house. It's trining her Mercury, and Neptune's opposing her Mercury. That's what we call in astrology redirected aspects, when you have a hard major and soft major aspect connected. This person is phenomenal. I've seen her read minds of people. I've seen her give incredible psychic readings because she has Pluto-Mercury connect. Or Neptune-Venus. Incredible divine compassion I've seen with people with Neptune-Venus. Or Neptune-Moon. Incredible emotional connection, psychic connection with people. Or I'll give you another one. Mars connected to Pluto. Tremendous physical willpower and strength to overcome any adversity. So when you see these outer higher octave planets connected with some of these faster moving planets, which we looked at first, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, those connections bring about a person who has developed their psychic intuitive ability, or whatever words you want to use, healing ability. They're healers. Now, I forgot to mention Ceres, which is right here. It's an asteroid. And how many Virgos here? Wow, a lot of Virgos. Okay. There is becoming more and more a consensus in astrology these days that this may be the true ruler of Virgo, along with the other asteroids in the asteroid belt, but primarily Ceres. Ceres, we know that Mercury has a connection to Virgo because of the analytical nature of Virgo, which is Mercury. But Virgo is far more than that. Virgo has to do with healing the sick, healing the dying, raising children the proper etiquette way. It also has to do with harvest, and harvest means nourishment and giving nourishment to people. How many are involved with therapeutic touch here? Anybody? Okay, several. The deeper level of Ceres may have to do with therapeutic touch because it has to do with hands-on healing. And Ceres, probably more than any of these planets up here, has to do with that kind of healing. Where you lay your hands on someone and you can feel that energy going through.
I had a question here. When you were talking about Saturn, you were talking about going through periods of loss. How long does that cycle last?
Good question. Generally a Saturn transit, when it begins, it has a direct, retrograde, direct movement in astrology. But the whole aspect generally lasts from about 9 to 11 months for a Saturn transit. That's at its onset to its middle to its end. First of all, you'd have to see the person's chart, because there could be Saturn making aspects to a lot of planets all at the same time. And that, for some people, it's a much longer time. But if you're just talking about transit of Saturn to one planet, it's about a 9-month cycle, on average, 9 to 11-month cycle, okay? But, again, if a person, say, has Saturn squaring 4 or 5 planets all at the same time, that could last for 2-3 years. So it's a lot longer. That's why it's important to have the person's chart done. That'll show that, because everybody's different. Everybody's individual.
I just have a comment about Saturn. My experience is that when it's traversing houses and quadrants, it has effect as well.
Yes.
And houses can be 2.5 years, roughly, and quadrants are, you know what, 7.5 years.
Signs have 2.5 years
signs.
With Saturn, it's signs 2.5 years.
Yeah, so those and as you said, you have to have the person's chart, because sometimes we have a lot going on in a quadrant, and sometimes there's not much going on in a quadrant. And those Saturn transits of that quadrant will be experienced very differently.
Yeah, you definitely experience more with Saturn, or for that matter, any planet, when it's hitting a planet, another planet in the chart. If it's just going through the house, you may not feel it very much. But when it makes an aspect, that's when you feel not only the nature of the planet, but you feel the nature of the house. Before we go on to other questions, though, I want to finish my talk.
You opened it up, Dave.
Well, I know. I just wanted to mention about where these outer planets are. So Jupiter is in Leo right now. It's at 20 degrees. So it's going to be, this year, Jupiter will be going through the last third. Every sign has 30 degrees. So this has 10 more degrees. The last third of the sign of Leo, Jupiter will be going through. And then, till we get to the end of the year, it'll be going through the first 20 degrees of the sign of Virgo. Who in here are Leos or Virgos? Or do you know if you have planets in Leo and Virgo? I'm sure a lot of you do. For the first few months yet left of Jupiter and Leo, Leos are going to have it nice, because Jupiter bestows really good things, really benefic, positive things. And then the Virgos. Who are the Virgos here? Okay. Then the Virgos got it good, because Jupiter will be going through the sign of Virgo. For about, let me see here, for Jupiter, it's from January 1st until April, it's going to be going through, I'm sorry, until August, it's going to be going through Leo. And then from Leo, or from August till the end of the year, Virgo. Now, the time that it's really going to be strong is when, around April 8th, when it stations and goes direct. This is when, I won't go into explaining station points, but station points are very powerful. And at that point, it's going to be in the sign of Leo. Does anybody know if they have any planets around 12 degrees of Leo or thereabouts? Very good for you guys. With stations in August in the sign of Leo. And then it goes through Virgo, as I said, the rest of the year. Saturn? Well, Saturn, as of Christmas Eve, just went into Sagittarius. We just got out of Scorpio. It's going to go back into Scorpio from June through September. But from now until June, and from September to the end of the year, it's going to go into the early degrees of Sagittarius. How many Sages and Geminis here? Okay. Now, this is just for the early degrees, like the first 4 degrees. Those people with the first 4 degrees of Sag and Gemini will feel Saturn. They will feel Saturn's pinch, feel Saturn's pressure, feel Saturn's challenges. Not bad, necessarily. It all depends on the aspects it makes, too. But things will become a little bit more, well, there's going to be more responsibilities heading your way. And then after September, when it goes into Sagittarius for good, it's going to be there for the next 2.5 years. So whereas before, when Saturn was in Scorpio and opposing Taurus, those two signs had it rough. Now the Geminis and the Sagittarians and the Geminis will have challenges, just like the Scorpios had and the Tauruses had for the previous 2.5 years. So, yeah, a little bit tougher for any Geminis here. Okay, Geminis have a little bit of a rough road at the same time that Sagittarians. But this is the early degrees, not the later degrees of Sag. Uranus, again, I'll point it out, right there, is in Aries. Aries and most of the degrees of Sag have it really good because Jupiter is in Leo and Aries is in Uranus. So Jupiter and Uranus are making grand trines to those fire signs. The fire signs are going to have it nice for the most part, except for those, I said, those early degrees of Saturn and Sagittarius. But the fire signs, for the most part, have a really good year ahead. And then Neptune is in its own sign of Pisces. How many Pisces here? Okay. Pisces, it's the early degrees of Pisces, by the way. I think it's from 4 to 9 degrees. And again, those are the early days of when the sun goes into that sign. Pisces have it a little bit difficult because Neptune does not want us to be grounded. It wants to lift us up off the earth plane. So it's great. Neptune is great for musicians and artists and writers because that has to do with creativity, and that's the nature of Neptune, is to be creative. So when Neptune is in Pisces and it goes into your sign of Pisces, those early degrees, it's at 5 degrees now, it's wonderful for creativity. But it's not very grounded either. And so Pisces and Virgos have to watch their step. They have to be careful. Those two signs especially have to be careful that they are not blindsided. Keep aware of everything that's going on around you. Because Pisces, just by its very nature, tends to have its head in the clouds. And Neptune is in Pisces now, and I know some Pisces people are really freaking out because things are happening to them all around them and they weren't aware of it. So keep grounded. Pisces and Virgos, stay grounded. And Pluto is in Capricorn, and that affects Capricorns and its opposite sign of Cancer. Either you are empowered by Pluto, or people are trying to overpower you. Be very careful. Cancers especially have to... Any Cancers here? Okay. Cancers have to watch it because when Pluto opposes your planets in Cancer, people will try to control you. And you have to watch out for that control because you don't want that. You have to get into your own power. Any Capricorns? Anybody else? Capricorn? Okay. It's a very empowering time for Capricorns because Pluto is in that sign. But don't get too big of a head, too. Don't get power hungry. Because Pluto gives us the sense of self-empowerment when it's in the sign that our sun signs or planets are in. So be careful. Capricorns have to be careful that they don't get too big of a head. And Cancers have to watch that other people aren't trying to control them. And Cancers tend to fall into that trap because Cancers are a very giving, compassionate, self-sacrificing water sign. So they have to watch that. So overall, the fire signs have it pretty good. Air signs, it's better now for Aquarius. Any Aquarius here? Okay, and I'm an Aquarius myself. I just got through Saturn and Scorpio, so that was pretty rough. But Aquarians have it a little bit better now because Saturn is off squaring their sun. And, Librans. Any Librans? Okay. Librans, get ready for some excitement in your life because Uranus, when it opposes your planets in Libra, There's going to be a lot of new things come your way. Boom, boom, boom. Sudden. New doors opening up for Librans and Aries. Exciting time, really, for Aries and Libra, I think. But again, as I said before with Uranus, doors can suddenly slam shut. Don't be too scared, too concerned, because if you're a Libra, because a new door will open up. Uranus has that nature of being able to, when it closes one door, you've heard the term, when one door closes, another door opens. That's what's going to be happening with Librans. Okay, did I forget any signs? Tauruses have it pretty good because Pluto's trining your planets. Taurus has got it great. Taurus is here? Okay, any sun sign Taurus? May, end of April? No Tauruses. Okay. Tauruses have it pretty good as well. Have I skipped any signs?
Scorpio.
Scorpio. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, Scorpios, please tell me about Scorpio. Forget it. I'm not going to talk about Scorpio. Now, they've had it rough the last 2.5 years. Oh, my God. And Tauruses, too, because Saturn was in that sign. You can breathe a sigh of relief now because Neptune is trining your sign in Pisces. And Jupiter is making some sextiles to your sign. That's good. So, yeah, a lot better for Scorpios. A sigh of relief. And I'm sure you know what I mean. Okay, so a lot better for Scorpios as well.